I'd like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Shunt.
I am a Youper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the floor! O'Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Here's Leibinger. Shoots!
Huskies.
This is the Joe Shawn Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Shawn, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Michigan Tech Hockey, for the next 60 minutes here on Mix 93, and we are excited about it. What a weekend we have coming up as the Huskies get set to host and visit the Northern Michigan Wildcats in the first of two home-and-home series against our arch rival. Coming off a weekend against Bowling Green State University at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, Coach Shawn is in our studio. Good morning to you, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
Well, it was a tough-fought, hard-fought weekend against a very good Bowling Green team, and we knew it would be. They ended up beating us 2-1 on Friday night. We tied 2-2 in overtime on Saturday night. Seemed like we played a lot better Saturday night than we did on Friday night.
Yeah, I thought the guys, I thought we competed hard on Saturday. We did, you know, we worked to get open a lot more. The Bowling Green plays a tough style of hockey. They play, which a lot of teams do in the WCHA, they play that tight man for man. They were running a 2-3-4 check in both the forecheck and the neutral zone forecheck, which is basically just man for man type stuff. So it's important that you're working really hard to create time and space, and it's important that the guys away from the puck are working hard to get open and plays happen fast in man for man coverage, or else they lose their guy for a second, and then they grab him back up. So everything happens so much faster. On Friday, we had some good video opportunities to show the guys where we let guys get into us, and so we were relatively easy. I think everybody that saw the game saw the frustration in our players and not being able to get the puck into the zone. So, you know, they were trying to skate through guys Bowling Green just focused on their man, and we knew that going in. We just didn't execute the way we needed to and get the puck in areas where we could go get it. Saturday we did a much better job at it. We got the puck into areas where we could go get it. We got the puck into areas where we could attack the zone a little bit better. And I thought as the game went on, guys got more and more accustomed to it, and we played better.
You look at Friday's game, and they pressured hard all weekend. Even on their penalty kill, they made us move the puck. And in a case like that, Coach, in layman's terms, do we need better puck support for that guy that's going back to pick up the puck, knowing he has a guy right on him that he needs that outlet pass somewhere soon? Or
yeah, you absolutely need support, and you need guys to come back and help out. You need the guy that's going back and getting the puck to do it quickly and to make plays and give himself. It's all about time and space. You know, it's all about creating that and giving time. It starts with in the neutral zone forcing them to give up the puck sooner rather than later, so they don't attack and attack you with full speed coming in at the blue line where you're pivoting, they're going, and it's a race for the puck then. There's a lot of things to play into it, and you have to be mentally charged to play that way and to execute. Now, we didn't give up a lot on the weekend. You know, we gave up three or four goals against all on the power play. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, we gave up very little total. We gave up 7 scoring chances against total, which is, you know, that's as low as you're ever going to get. It's just that we didn't score, and weren't able to score 3 or 4 goals to make that a win.
Were things going in too easy for us, Coach, early in the season, where now they're just not going in for us offensively?
I think we caught teams early with speed. Like we really focused in the preseason on playing with pace and playing fast. And I think we caught teams that didn't spend a lot of time on their defensive structures. We caught them with speed. And now as the games get going, what you are comes out a little bit more. And you know, right, we've been carried really by one line. And that line, we put them back together Saturday night, and they played really well. They had gone stale. We broke them up. We got some good jump with the other combinations we went to. That didn't work with Energy Friday, so we went back to that line on Saturday, and they had some good jump in energy for us. But we really need secondary support. You know, we've been talking so much about Stamen's line and how well they're working, the scoring chances they've been creating, but they haven't been scoring goals. But they've been giving us great example and great shifts. But they're not scoring goals. We really need that secondary scoring, and that's where we keep talking over and over and over again about the opportunities that some guys have to do some things that they've never done before. You know, we kind of have a little theory that on translation on if you're a 50-point guy in the BC League, British Columbia League, you don't know what you're going to get out of that guy when he comes to the college level. Like, that's not really the numbers in that league. That it's the 80-point guys, the 85-point guys. Like, Gavin Gould scored a little over 80 points. You knew that he had confidence he was going to translate into an offensive player. And he has. He's been good from his freshman year on. Alex Patan, the same way, was an 85-point guy in the BC League. North American League, you know, if you're around 70, 60, 65, 70, you're going to be an offensive player. But if you're around 45, you know, 40 points, you don't know what you're going to get out of that player. You can't count on them for being offensive players. We have a lot of those 50-point BC guys and a lot of those 40-point NAHL guys. You know, and USHL, you know, it's about 40 points is a good offensive production out of the USHL that translates into getting comparable numbers in college hockey. So we're asking a lot of guys, and I'm not saying asking them, we're putting a lot of guys have an opportunity, is how we're presenting it, to really improve their game and develop into what they, you know, they all want to be professional hockey players, to develop into that. Those opportunities are still there. Our freshmen, I think, are doing an exceptional job of what we're asking for them. I think Reitmeier's getting better every day. Misiak's obviously showing the type of player that he is. He's translating, and he's going to be a pretty good college hockey player. Our defensemen, our young defensemen, are doing a great job for us, and we're really looking for those other players to take advantage of the opportunity and give us some secondary support. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
You know, I really always marvel at the scouting report that you give us, a very broad form of it, I guess, during our pregame interviews. But you talked about, I don't remember if it was before Friday's game or before Saturday night's game, the one thing that Bowling Green was going to do, and they did it a lot, where when they win the draw in their defensive zone, they send that winger and they just flip the puck up there and beat the icing, and all of a sudden now we're on the defensive side of that. We saw that quite a bit in those games.
Yeah, and so we know we're doing it, and we need to get back and get to those pucks and beat them to those icing plays. Right. So, and again, that's part of, you know, that's part of what we're talking about. We're trying to get complete buy-in, and we spoke before about it. We spoke about it many times, Dirk. I think that we relied. I know we relied so much in the past on playing. Like, our first year, when my first year here was absolutely phenomenal. There was tremendous competition throughout the lineup. You had guys like Blake Hiedela, and at that time, Malcolm Gould, and at that time, Tyler Heinonen, who were fighting to get in the lineup, fighting, and Max Vallas fighting to get in the lineup. And when they got in the lineup, they were working so hard. They produced. When they got in the lineup, they worked so hard. And we had that balance, and the team had never really had success. For years and years and years, hadn't had success. And I was fortunate enough to come in here in the year where we did have success. I really loved, and I still love, the culture that we have. But I think we evolved into, for a variety of reasons, you know, I have my own personal thoughts, but we evolved into just trying to win games with the players that we had developed prior. And so our attention to detail and our attention to development with those other guys and giving them time and opportunity maybe wasn't as where it should have been, or where it could have been. And we relied on Matt Roy, Shane Hanna, you know, Sturros. We relied on Alex Patan. We relied on our top guys and rode them to victories where we need everybody contributing and getting better. Everybody, that was the motto first year, just get better. Then it evolved into let's win. And I understand the responsibility of winning. I want to win, you know, is more than anybody. I'm not a very good loser. But I understand that winning is a product of a day-to-day assertion to improve and get better. And that's what I want our players to be held accountable for, their responsibility to give back. Like I was talking to Suzanne the other day, and we have guys, our guys work hard, but we have some guys that are given an awful lot here. They're treated awful well. We all are treated awful well. And you might give back 70%, you know, like there's not 100% reciprocating with that, or else there'd be a total, you know, there'd be some transformation in some guys over their career. And it's our job to force that, to force those guys to get uncomfortable a little bit, like we all are. Like, we're all uncomfortable, and to find ways to be productive and impact the game in a positive way. And that's what we're looking for, the guys that can impact the game in a positive way. Right now we're getting some guys move ahead a couple steps, they slip back a half a step, you know what I mean? So we're not knowing what we're going to get out of guys completely in the compete level, in the speed level and things from one night to the other. But that's been nothing that we haven't seen out of these same individuals through their career. And we're working with them diligently to try to get them to bring a consistent level to their game every single night.
You started Devin Carroll both nights, coach, and I thought he played very well. Maybe was a little nervous going into that first game, but boy, throughout the rest of that first game and certainly Saturday night, very solid, squared up to the puck. It looks like his positioning was just ideal throughout the two games.
Yeah, we did a good job in front of him. The games probably weren't the funnest games to watch because it was a defensive struggle. Like I said, Saturday night we gave up through the 65 minutes, we gave up 7 scoring chances against. 3 of them, the first 3 were on the power play. 2 of them scored. The one wrist shot on Saturday night from outside the, right just top of the circle where we backed in too far. And then the second goal was like 3 of the goals on the weekend, shot, rebound, quick rebound, shot, rebound. We had a guy standing there in coverage, but they got the rebound on it. So I can't fault him on any goals. He stopped the pucks he needed to stop. For the most part, we need to give him a little bit more offensive support.
Well, let's take a look at Friday night's highlights. The Huskies scored first both nights, including on Friday night, and here was the first goal of the game.
Huskies move it back to the Burks. Burks slides it over for Keegan Ford. Ford on the left point. Now in the middle for Misiak. Misiak mishandled it, but he got it back. Back down low. Huskies to the point. Ford will have to curl it. Held it in just barely. Burks will look to shoot. No. Misiak shot. Backdoor score!
I thought Misiak did a really nice job on that play to kind of get possession again after he lost it and just made a nice pass over there.
Yeah, it's a play we threw in. We actually threw that look in, that set in during the week for Bowling Green, and it paid off for us. That line has been scoring on the power play for us. That's a line. Like last week in Mankato, they scored for us. They scored both nights this weekend on the power play for us. That's a line that's been scoring. They just don't get enough time in the zone. They have trouble getting in the zone and getting it set up and being able to work. Where the other unit, who has a little bit easier time, although they struggle Saturday night getting the puck in the zone, have not been able to attack the net. They've been playing very much like Bowling Green play, that perimeter type thing, where we're trying to look for a perfect pass shot. Bowling Green did a little bit better job of just getting that puck to the net and whacking in a rebound. Those two units, of the two, the most effective has been that unit with Misiak.
Misiak gets the assist along with Dane Burks. Thomas Bretta, his second of the season. That was on the power play, as was every goal this weekend, with the exception of the Huskies' final goal on Saturday night. That was at the 6:04 mark of the first period. Huskies lead 1-0. Schilling and the Bowling Green Falcons go on the power play later on, and they get a power play goal to tie it up.
Up top again for Cruz. Cruz, left side, back up top, Cruz. Right side, one-timer, shot, rebound, scores. Looked like Carroll might have got most of the first one there, but it kind of laid in the crease for a split second. And a power play goal for the Falcons. Ties it up 1-1.
And that's what you were talking about, Coach. There was a guy right there, one of our guys, that should have taken him out, right, correct?
Well, he was there. He was there, and you've got to get into the guy on the shot. It was 2-on-2 coverage at the net, and you got to get into the guy on the shot. But it happens quick, you know what I mean? You're looking at the puck. You're trying to find the rebound. You either get the guy or you get the puck, and we were looking for the puck.
Then 1-1 after one. The second period was the only goal and the game-winner goal. It was Schilling again, even though it looked like DeAndrew was the one that got the goal.
Hit the skate, it looked like, of Dane Burks. Huskies have 16 seconds to kill. They'll wrap it around. They will not get it out, though. Back over. DeAndrew walks in. Shot scores. He saw that far side there in the screen in front of Carroll. And the Falcons take their first lead of the game on the power play.
So, Coach, was that most importantly the fact that we didn't get it out when we had an opportunity there, or was it the fact that we didn't tie up somebody on the side there?
Well, it's a combination of things. You know, here's the irony of it. Last year, our penalty kill took off. We got up to we ended up in the top five, but I think we got as high as second at one point very late in the year. I ran the penalty kill last year. I'm running the penalty kill this year, you know, and this year we can't stop anything. So, you know, we're trying to find things that work within the personnel that we have, without having the Matt Roys again. We're trying to find things that work within what we have. We're tweaking things, we're adjusting things around, and like I keep saying, we think we're going in the right direction, and then we go in the other direction. Now, I can look at this weekend. Let's look at Saturday night. Three scoring chances against on the penalty kill. Three. And two of them ended up in our net. Mm-hmm. So we had one scoring chance against on the penalty kill, including a 5-on-3 for over a minute and a 5-minute man advantage where we didn't give anything up. Right now it just feels like, it's a confidence thing, that everything has to be perfect. And things are just, when an opportunity occurs, it ends up in our net. We're not giving up a lot. I mean, we gave up more last year and had much better results than we're giving up right now. They're just ending up in our net with the personnel and the attention to detail in being in the position that we're in. We're trying a lot of different things. We've gone from aggressive to being a little bit more passive to making sure we have the coverage at the net, and they're just ending up in our net. So, it was a missed clear. Yeah, it was a missed coverage in front of the net. Both opportunities to get the job done, where successful penalty kill units will get those jobs done. But that just comes down, that's a personnel issue. And it's really hard to practice out. You know, you practice a penalty kill, but what we're talking about right now is innate ability to get a job done is really what it comes down to. Last year what we did is we shortened up our guys. We went with Sturros and Neville, consistently, and then we use Roy and Hannah, and guys that we have right now penalty killing didn't get the penalty kill last year. Now they're top pairings on penalty kill, and there's a reason why they didn't kill last year, why Watson, we moved Leibinger from forward back to D, and then we use Hannah and Roy. There's a reason why we did that. Mm-hmm. Guys need to grow and accept the responsibility if we're going to have success with it. It's a matter of, you know, I'm not going to beat them up. I'm not going to beat guys up. We're going to continue to try to grow and continue to try to get better, because we have what we have. The Calvary's not coming. You know what I mean? There's no da-da-da-da. You know, we got what we got, and we got to make it work with what we have.
Do you as a coaching staff see some improvement, even maybe not so much on the stats and keeping the puck out of our net, but are you starting to see some of these guys who are the ones that we're going to have to build into these penalty killers? Are you seeing some improvement, some light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, we see it on a given night. You know, last weekend we talked about, we killed the first seven power play opportunities by a very good Mankato power play, the first seven. And then the last two of the weekend went in the net. The last two with the game on the line went in the net. And they were 5-on-3s and stuff like that. But we killed seven straight, including 5-on-3s. So, again, you feel good coming out of it. And we didn't give up much this weekend. They just ended up in our net. And, it's frustrating for everybody. But you can't live in the past. You live in the future. And confidence comes from repetition. That's how we all build our confidence. It comes from repetition of doing the right things over and over. And we have to just keep, getting the personnel in there. I thought our freshmen this weekend, we changed and went with our younger penalty killers after, I believe it was on Saturday night. Later we went with our younger penalty killers and they did for the most part, a pretty good job for us. Mitch Meek took one. I mean, he ate a puck. He took it right in the neck. It was a scary situation.
Was it on the
side of the neck?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, but, and then came back and he's still playing and he's still, you know, just a warrior. So, there's guys that are sacrificing, like they're doing, and there's other guys that are flamingoing a little bit and not willing to block a shot, lifting that foot, turning sideways, doing things like that. But they're the best we have at it right now. So, you know, we're just trying to get complete buy-in for each other and complete commitment.
I thought Mitch Meek I just thought he was good all weekend long. Every shift he was out there.
Yeah, coming off the flu. He didn't skate right. The 2 days going in, and he's coming off the flu, and he's weak, and he gave us everything we have. Our guys are working hard. Our guys are trying hard. Our guys get frustrated because they're in roles that some of them don't relish. The responsibility that's being put on them, that's being granted to them, I should say, they don't relish it because, there's alphas want to be out there with the game on the line. Alphas, and then others really like to play a secondary role. You know what I mean? They really like to. I can help us, but dang, don't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And and there's like that in every sport and in every team. And you want to get, you'd like to have more alphas. You know, you'd like to have more guys that let's ride this thing, which we've had in the past. Like Alex Patan's a good example. Alex Patan would do a lot of things away from the puck that you just shake your head at, wouldn't want to let a guy get away with. But he got you 8 or 9 scoring chances a night that equated into goals, and he was a player of the year in our league because he created offense. You're looking for guys to bring something. And our guys are bringing good work ethic, and we're just asking them to really open their minds and get out of what they've ever been in the past and be creative. Be creative, make plays. Don't just give it back to the opposition when we work so hard to get it. You know what I mean? Like find what's going on. Get open in the offensive zone. Never take a second off a shift. Always face the puck. The attention to detail, and we want our depth, the guys that aren't in the lineup, to push and outplay guys that are in the lineup so we can grow. Mm-hmm. And then the guys that are in the lineup have to figure out, okay, do I want, how much do I want to fight for this? Or am I willing to just pass it on to the guy that's, the up-and-comer? So we need some of that, too. Our depth needs to push it.
Final score on Friday night in front of 3,388 fans was 2-1 in favor of Bowling Green. Shots 28-22 in favor of the Falcons. And the Huskies ended up 1-for-6 on the power play, 2-for-4 for Bowling Green. We'll talk about Saturday night's tie when we come back. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light, just like you can always count on reliable Ralph. Ow. Ask him to move that couch he moved for you last summer. Ralph will do it. Need a ride from the dentist? Better call Ralph. And he won't even film you after the laughing gas and put you online and get millions of views. He's reliable Ralph, for Pete's sake. Reliable Ralph is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Reminga knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Stock up on all your favorite snacks and beverages at Morty's Gas Station and Convenience Store in downtown Lake Linden. Check out Morty's Walk-In Cooler for all your favorite adult beverages. Morty's has a great selection of wines to choose from with monthly beer and wine specials store-wide. Don't forget about all your snacks and the latest movie rentals. Morty's is more than just a gas station. Taxes and deposit are not included on sale items. At Morty's, Lake Linden.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We talked about the Saturday night or Friday night win or Friday night loss to Bowling Green State University. Let's go to the tie on Saturday night, and it was another great crowd, Coach. I mean, you commented on the crowds, just wonderful Michigan Tech hockey support all weekend long.
Oh yeah, they've been great. I mean, they kept us in it, they kept us enthused, they kept us excited, and it was just great to. It's great to play here in front of these people. They're passionate. They're part of it. They're an equal part of everything we do.
We scored first again on Saturday night at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, Michigan Tech.
And Michigan Tech will pick up the loose puck. Taken by the captain, Baltus. Brent Baltus at the line, trying to lock in. Baltus using some strength to get in there deep. Michigan Tech battling, they hold it in. Baltus without a glove goes to pick it up. Burks now back up top. Here's Ford walking in. He'll shoot! Scores! Keegan Ford with a power play goal! It went all the way through, and the Huskies lead it 1-0.
Keegan Ford, his first goal as a Husky. Dane Burks gets the assist. That was a nice goal, Coach. Traffic in front of the goaltender and really kind of drawing it up or playing the way you draw it up on that power play.
Yeah, that power play, again, they've been scoring goals for us. They're the ones that have been getting the puck in the net for us on the power play, so they did a good job on that. And Keegan's good at that. Keegan gets pucks through. He sees openings, he sees creases, and he gets the puck through. He's one of our better guys at doing that.
So the Huskies up 1-0 at that point. Again, though, late in the period, it's a power play for the Falcons, and they tie it up 1-1.
Michigan Tech on the kill. Locking in Bayless, shot scores! Bayless picked the corner on the left side and beat Carroll on the play. We're tied 1-1.
Tied 1-1 on that play, and that was actually redirected in by Cameron Wright, which I couldn't see at the time there. He gets credit for the goal.
Yeah, and that was we got caught in a rotation and didn't get out in front that shot at all. We backed in, and he shot it from just outside the tops of the circles. Our front man in the middle there was under the hash marks. Trying to block it. We need to get out and get a better block opportunity on that. I don't know if that puck was going wide or if it was going to go in anyways, but they originally gave the goal to the shot from the point. But the unfortunate thing on that is that late in the period, we've had a really good period. Everything's going well. We've killed off a couple of their power plays. They haven't done really much on it. And then they get a delay of game, which is very, very seldom called. They said Devin went out of the crease and grabbed the puck. You see goalies do that all the time when they lose their stick. It's very seldom called, but they made the call, and it is in the rule book. So they were able to capitalize on it late.
So help me out on this rule, because we have seen it. It's obviously not in the, you don't have to be in your crease to cover the puck.
They said you do, but then what it is, you're not allowed to skate out of the net like you did and go grab a puck. You're allowed to, they give you a grace on stopping the puck and covering it. But to go out and actually just go out and grab it. But you see it all the time. You see goalies dive out and you still have to kill it. There's under a minute left. Let's get the job done and let's kill it and let's not be looking back and making excuses.
They get another power play, this time on a 5-on-3 advantage early in the 5-on-3. This gave them, the Falcons, a 2-1 lead.
So a 5-minute major penalty kill here for the Huskies, brought to you by Gary Jorgensen at Lake Accounting. We're tied at 1. Big test for the Huskies. Shot, save, rebound, and a goal. And they get one early here, too, as Carroll made the stop. The rebound was there, and a tap it. I believe Bayless will get it.
And they give the goal to Mitch McLean, actually, on that goal. That was 5-minute major, not 5-on-3, but it was 5-on-3 after that.
Yeah, and it was bang bang. It was a shot, and it popped right onto McLean's stick. And McLean, I believe, was the leading goal scorer in the league last year. That's what he does. He lives in that area, and he put it in. It's hard. On that situation, it's hard to get the box out on them because of how the power play is running, and you have to get your fronts on the perimeter. It just happened bang bang before Seamus could get back and get into McLean. But McLean's a big, strong guy, anyways. It still would have been hard to get inside of him.
That was in the second period. Rauhauser and Wright get the assist. So we go to the third period, trailing by a score of 2-1, and it just seemed like one of those periods, Coach, where we were playing really pretty good. but we weren't generating the opportunities that we seemed to need. But towards the end there, we certainly did. And let's make it a hat trick of three goal calls that are wrong by me with this one here. Mitch Rankin does not get the goal. It was Gavin Gould.
Nice save by Bednar. He's got part of his mask strap hanging down there. You can see in the replay. That had to be Drop the puck again. Les Perron's taking the draw. This line will get a chance to rest up a little bit. 5:08 left to go in the third period. Easy win for the Huskies on this one. A shot scores! Oh, it found its way through from the point. Mitch Rankin, the Husky defenseman, gets his second of the season.
Well, it was Gavin Gould that got redirected the goal. Impossible to see from my angle that he had actually put it in. And I think a lot of the players thought it was Mitch Rankin who actually scored, because they went and hugged him first. And then Gould is like, hey, it was me. I got that goal. But what a great draw win by Joel Lesperance.
Yeah. You know, that line played well. That line played really well for us. And it was great to see Gavin get rewarded, because he played a tremendous hockey game. He took on, he got a 5-minute major for a hit to the head. That he took, so he served a 5-minute penalty, but he played aggressive. He created time and space in the offensive zone. He took on his check. He played well up and down, and I challenged him a little bit the night before to be a little bit more involved in the hockey game, and that line was outstanding. Lucchini had 8 shots himself in the game, which is a lot of that came off of the work done, by creating some time and space in the offensive zone by the other guys. So I'm proud of the way they played. We needed their performance in the game to get the point that we got.
Power plays on the game. Michigan Tech 1-for-5. The Bowling Green Falcons 2-for-7. 29-26. The Huskies actually outshooting the Falcons after the overtimes. And I thought we carried the play for the most part in the overtimes, Coach.
Well, we had the best scoring chances. Yeah. We traded some scoring chances in the 3-on-3 portion of it. We didn't give up anything in the 5-minute 5-on-5 portion of it. But we had a number of good looks, really good looks, a couple of breakaways in the other one. And we actually had a breakaway in the last minute of the game. We had a partial breakaway with Jake Jackson breaking through there. So there was no quit. Just like the way we've been playing all year long, there's no quit. Right now, what we're just looking for is confidence and continued growth and open-mindedness on our guys, so that we can have some fun playing with the puck. We possessed the puck a lot in that game on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We want to have some fun and have some guys throw some pucks in the net.
All right, final score 2-2 in overtime. The Falcons do get the extra point with the one goal in the shootout that was scored. Other than that, there was no other goal scored by either team. It went through 5 rounds, I think, in that. And both goaltenders, I thought, played really well in that game, including Devin Carroll, who was solid all weekend for Michigan Tech. All right, when we come back, we'll start some of your questions. You still have time to get one in for Coach. It's DJ@themix93.com. And that is, of course, if you're listening here on Monday morning live. And we'll preview the big weekend coming up, Military Appreciation Night on Friday night against the Northern Michigan Wildcats, and then we head down to the Barry Event Center on Saturday night. We'll preview that weekend and recap some of the other WCHA action over the weekend when we come back here on the Joe Schon Hour.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Enjoy all-you-can-eat specials at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Tuesdays, all-you-can-eat Joey's Original Fish and Chips. Wednesdays, all-you-can-eat Chicken and Popcorn Shrimp. Thursdays, all-you-can-eat Shrimp. Plus, Joey's has seafood and soups any day, salads, tacos, chicken, ribs, steaks, burgers, and many gluten-free menu options as well. Stop in for a quick lunch or dinner paired with your favorite beer, wine, or cocktail. We hope to see you soon. It's our pleasure to serve you at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Joey. Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium. Check out these deals at Bucko's all month. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are $2 for $3. Bucko's has your Keweenaw alpaca gear to keep you warm. Keep all your beverages cold with nice ice prices. 4 bags, $5. Pick up your favorite snacks for the camp, including Jack's Original Pizzas, $3 for $11, and Red Baron Pizzas, $3 for $9.99. Pick up your RV and DNR licenses and bait with their 4-bag deal of all deals. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's, where the party starts, 5th Street, Calumet.
Welcome back here on Mix 93. If you got a question for Coach Sean, you have time to get it in. If you're listening on a Monday morning here, it's DJ at themix93.com. A couple of penalty-killing questions here for you, Coach. First one, it says, it seems the more aggressive and disruptive the team got on the penalty kill, the more effective it was, rather than packing it back in. Was that by design?
We wanted to be aggressive when we could be aggressive throughout. But what we did is re-emphasize that after the first period when we backed in on that goal on Saturday night. We talked about it, and we talked about it as a group with the team. And we changed some personnel. We went with some younger guys on defense and told them compete. You know what I mean? When there's a loose puck, you have opportunities to. There's a few opportunities you have on the penalty kill. One is to prevent them from being able to set up in the zone, which Bowling Green did a good job against us. We had a hard time penetrating the zone on the with their penalty kill forecheck, which was the same identical to their 5-on-5 forecheck with 3 men stacked at the blue line. They just don't have one extra guy back pressuring. They only have the one guy back pressuring because the other guy's in the box. So they're familiar with doing that. It's within their system of how they play, and they don't change it, which is what we try to do within the way we play and not change it. But we've been backing in and not being able to hold those lines like we could hold them before in the past. So that's one way. Don't let them set up. Keep pressure on them so they can't set up until you can get the puck and clear it on the forecheck. And then you're looking for opportunities for loose pucks. You're looking for bobbles. You're looking for shots where the rebounds come available. You're looking for certain areas where you can force aggressively. And those areas, there's areas where you don't want to force aggressively and get stretched out too far. And so we got in a situation where we were backing in. To some degree on the front, on the top, which is what we did not want to do. And we emphasized that going out, and then we got the look we want. But we didn't give up much. Like I said, we gave up 3 scoring chances on the power play, including a minute plus of 5-on-3 and a 5-minute major. And they scored on 2 of the first 3 scoring chances. After that, they didn't get anything on their power play. So it's trying to find the right system that'll match the guys. It's trying to get the right guys in the system, and it's teaching the guys to go after it and win those battles and to make it happen for us. Last year we were at about this time, we were sitting in about the same spot in the penalty kill. We had some players that we could go to. We had some things that we could do. But it wasn't much different of a feeling. And that's when Mel asked me to take the penalty kill over and to run it. And we got really good at it. So we change week to week to fit the team we're playing. Against Mankato, you don't want to get stretched out. Against Bowling Green, you can be a little bit more aggressive, which we wanted to be and which we tried to be. But the players need to react and interact within that and understand it as well. We're spending more time on the penalty kill. Like last year, we had limited time, but we had the right personnel, so I could call the... It's a combination of a lot of things, but the idea is that you got to keep pressure on them when you can pressure, and then you got to win some battles and get the pucks out.
Well, and this same listener, Coach, says some people may be a little bummed out about the win's not coming lately, but he brings up a good point here. A year ago, we were 3-6-2 at this point, and 3-2-1 in the WCHA. So and basically they're just saying that, you know, everybody keep their heads up, and we're playing really good hockey right now. We're playing really good hockey teams too. They're also asking, Coach, how are the freshmen coming along? The freshmen that we haven't seen a lot in the lineup.
In honesty, I want more push out of that. I want more competition. I would love to have that pressure, positive pressure, positive competition, where a positive battle for ice time. Part of our problem on the back end is our ability to make plays under pressure, poised plays under pressure, and our aggressiveness, especially our aggressiveness in winning battles on some of our experienced guys. The guys that are not playing right now aren't they need to get better at showing the poise with the puck and the understanding and the ability to win battles and make things happen for us. If they can beat out somebody, then we're a better team for it. But the reality of it is that the best overall play we've got, in my opinion, overall now play we've got, I mean, I think Renke has been spectacular. I think Donahue's been spectacular in defending and in his quick puck movement ability. I think Meek has been spectacular. And we're waiting for some other guys. I think Ford has been really good. And I think that Ocker and Bergsie are maybe trying to do a little bit too much, and the chances that we're giving up a lot of them defensively are coming at their expense. So it puts us in a little bit of a pickle because they're such a vital part of our power play and things like that. At the forward position, we're getting the same thing. We're not getting anybody grabbing positions on our depth. And, you know, maybe a couple of those guys that went to Michigan or something like that in our lineup this year would help us. In our overall depth, but we need more push because there may be some guys that are being comfortable, and I'd certainly like to have some guys in like Max Vallis's and guys like that, and Blake Hiedeles and guys that were so hungry to get in the lineup, and you knew that they could play. It'd be great to have that push going on right now. I think we need a little bit more competition right now.
Next question, Coach, was basically talking about the penalty kill and what's the problem. You've already addressed that. But they go on to say, are we taking too many penalties that aren't taking away goal-scoring opportunities for the other team?
I'll say this. Our non-conference this year, and I'll just throw it out there, non-conference, the games are officiated completely different. I think we averaged 3 penalties a game in the non-conference games this year. In conference, you look at, first of all, you can take away the Mankato game last Saturday night because that turned into just a hideous performance. Like it was ridiculous what happened. Other than that, it's ticky-tack stuff but we're still not giving up a lot. We're not giving up, it's not like we're giving up 7 and 8 power play opportunities a night. We're giving up, 3 to 5 power play opportunities a night. We got to be better at it. Yeah. You have to be able to play aggressively. You have to be able to kill penalties. You know what I mean? You have to be able to, or else, maybe guys are going to back off or whatever, and you don't want that. You want to play aggressively, and you want to play aggressively on the kill, and you want to gain confidence on the kill. Right now is the other side of it can happen, where you can lose confidence and lose sight of the game a little bit because of frustration, because a lot of those guys in the power play you're relying on for offensive ability, and when they can't get anything going offensively on the power play, they come back on the bench, and you can just see it in them that they're, that was their opportunity. So then they might take 2 or 3 shifts where they get back into the focus of the compete level instead of having the maturity to play. So right now it's just, we need more balance. Point blank, we need more balance. We need, if you can shut down our line, and I'm not saying any rocket science secrets here, because we were getting carried by Lesperance and those guys and Lucchini and Gould and those guys early. If you can shut down that line, we need secondary support to help those guys so that we can still get our 2 goals a night, and then if those guys can pitch in for something on the power play for us, then you're in productive. I mean, look how many games we would have won if we had got 3 goals.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we need secondary support. We have guys growing. I was really happy with the play. Tom Beretta is really growing in that power forward type role. He's making things happen in the offensive zone. Dylan Stamen, I thought, was excellent in the offensive zone. And they were coming off the ice against Bowling Green, against that tough man-for-man with total possession that wasn't equating into a shot on goal, wasn't equating into a scoring chance necessarily, but they had complete dominance and were trying to attack. And they were and they were getting second chances where a loose puck would go. They'd go get it, and then they'd start moving again, creating time and space and getting it to an area. They just weren't able. They'd get it to the defenseman. The defenseman wouldn't have a shooting lane because of the tight man for man, so they'd lay it behind the net. We'd go get it again. So they're doing a lot of good things. We just got to get the puck into the areas and make quick plays where we can get it at the net and then beat somebody to a loose puck at the net.
Northern Michigan loses 3-0 but wins 4-1 on Saturday night. I don't know if anybody's watched that Davis Payne. Did I say Davis Payne?
Robbie Payne
goal. He's sitting down on the seat of his pants and put that goal in. But anyway, it's on YouTube if you want to see that. It looks like this listener is saying that it looks like Grant Pitoni's changed the way Northern Michigan played compared to last year and the years prior to that. Will that mean we prepare differently for Northern Michigan at all?
Oh yeah, we'll have to play against Northern differently than we played against them in the past. Grant's done a pretty good job there, and Northern Michigan has some pretty good talent. They have some really good talent up front for sure. You know, Robbie Payne he's a goal a game guy in this league. He's a really good player. Craighead's a really good player. Rockwood, the transfer for them, is a really good player from Wisconsin. D'Amatoni is a really speedy, good hockey player. So they have a lot of front. Loggins is a good, you know, he's an MVP in the USHL playoffs on the Sioux Falls team that won the championship.
Right.
They have a lot of firepower up front. They have a tremendous goaltender in Ate Tolvanen. And they have enough defensemen back there that are doing jobs from moving the pucks up on the big ice and getting it to those forwards. So you knew that they knew everybody. You knew going into that when the job posting was open and things like that, they had some quality people put in for that job because there were some pieces in place to go with on that team. The direction it was a year for them to show something, and they're doing a pretty good job with that.
Next listener, coach, is asking about Todd Kielinen and how he was on the in the lineup and how he was out there for warmups on Friday's game. And you've touched on a little bit that had to do with Mitch Meek being a game-time decision,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, Mitch was a game-time decision on that. And if Mitch was healthy and was able to go, we were going to go with Mitch. Todd was ready to go. He did a, you know, he's preparing as hard as he can for us. But there is still, in my opinion, a little bit of a gap between the six guys that are playing and the guys that are not playing. And we're looking for that for that gap to subside and to get good competition there.
All right, we'll take a break. More of your questions coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll preview more of the big weekend coming up with Northern Michigan right here on the Joe Schaan Hour.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way. Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger? But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. Have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine served all day, best coffee around, and Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
We'll go back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Another question coming in, Coach, does the staff evaluate all legacy hockey players of former players and students who are alumni?
That's a great question. I can't say that we do all that we know of. And actually right now we're five legacy individuals. It's a great benefit to us. It's something that I think there's a lot of benefits to a legacy player. First of all, they know the community. They know whether it's a place that they want to go. You can get right to the nooks and cranny. There's no games being played. We had a kid in this week. We're on kids that are being recruited by BU and by North Dakota by this, and they get mesmerized by the big things. So you can have an open and candid conversation early of, is okay, your father, your mother, whoever went here, whatever, does this interest you? And then you a lot of the block is done, and then you can just get down to the nooks and crannies. And then there's obviously a scholarship benefit to being. We're currently, that I know of, that I'm involved with talking to five. But we don't know of all of them either. That we don't know of all of them. So anybody can always give me a phone call.
Coach, it says right here, the next one, you keep making references to stars of the past and how you want that type of effort from our players and what sort of player we need coming in. So how do you fix that? This listener says, I don't see the incoming guys of that caliber on paper. So how do you get that push and that desire from those who aren't doing so now?
It's recruiting. It's recruiting. Now, a lot of what's going on, as an example, recruiting is so far out. A lot of the guys and a lot of the rug issues and a lot of the cleanup that we've had to do and painfully had to do is by guys that were committed a long time ago. I'll just leave it at that, a long time ago. I probably have more, twice as many, if not more, guys that are on the current Northern team that I committed than are on our team right now. I know I committed Gavin Gould. I committed Mitch Meek. I committed Robbie Badoon, Packy Munson. There's some immediate stuff, but other than that, it was like there was such an overload of commitments when I got here that I wasn't involved in a lot of the recruiting. We're involved in it recruiting out from that point on. And so we have some guys out there right now that are committed that I was involved in that aren't here yet because there's no spot for them to be here. And there's still guys out there that I had nothing to do with committing when Billy was still here that's far. And if you look at, as an example, Michigan's commitment list right now, they're probably up near 30 on guys that are committed right now to go to Michigan. A lot of those guys will never end up at Michigan. Some of them will end up at Michigan. And what happens is when you get locked into certain guys because things happen. So the bottom line is going out, it's recruiting. It's first of all making sure that the guys you recruit are they're not the flavor of the day. You sincerely want them, and then working ahead on that. And that's where we're at right now.
Wildcats coming in with a record of 5-3-0 overall. They are 3-1-0 in the WCHA play with 9 points. They of course had a good weekend, solid weekend against Minnesota State, getting shut out on Friday night, but winning 4-1. On Saturday night, and we know how tough Minnesota State is. So this team coming in here under Grant Pitone, a lot of speed, Coach. They have a little bit of everything, it seems like. They have some size. They have guys like Diamantoni who are quick and good puck handlers. They really have a little bit of everything.
And they have an exceptional power play. Mm-hmm. They have goaltending that can keep them in any game, make the big save and keep them in any game. And they have an exceptional power play with Robbie Payne and those guys in there, and Craig Head and Rockwood and those guys. So, the recipe there is pretty simple. There'll be no secrets coming in, and we have to do a good job to come out with success.
Ferris State with a big win over the weekend against against the Michigan Wolverines in overtime at Yosei Arena.
Yeah, that was big. That was a split. That was a split series there, and that's big for our league for sure. But again, it's our league's tough teams to play against. They're tough teams to play against. There's, you know, whoever they play, we may not win or lose games, but we're tough to play against because of the defensive style. Because everybody feels that they have to play that way to stay with, you know, the perceived big dogs. Like if you try to go in a skill fashion against those big teams, you know the thought is you're not going to beat them. So you have to really get a commitment to that style where you limit chances and things like that, and every team in our league does that.
We talked to Coach Chris Bergeron before the Friday night game and a little bit about Alaska, and he was saying they might be one of the most underappreciated programs right now in the WCHA. They beat Bemidji State in overtime 4-3 and then lose on Saturday night to Bemidji State by a score of 3-2, but pretty good weekend there against a very fast and quality Bemidji State team.
Yeah, and they had a good weekend the weekend before at Bowling Green against in Bowling Green, which isn't an easy place to play. So Lance has them playing, doing a good job as well.
And the other series, we saw that Lake Superior State, Damon get an overtime win, 3-2 at Taffy-Able Arena against the Seawolves of UAA on Friday night. Then on Saturday night, the Seawolves come back and get a win 4-1. So again, everybody. You know, it was a Splitsville weekend with the exception of ours, but it seems like the teams are so evened up throughout the WCHA.
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight right down to the end.
And then Huntsville took on Arizona State over the weekend, played them tough, 3-2. They lose on Friday night, and Huntsville comes back and wins on Saturday night by a score of 3-1. So good non-conference action against a team that we'll be seeing later on in the season up
yep,
here.
Yep, good for Huntsville.
All right, Coach. So this Military Appreciation Weekend is, you know, obviously it's a huge weekend of hockey by itself, but all the sports are getting involved. And Friday night with these jerseys, I told you before the show here today how much I love the look of these jerseys. I can't wait to see them in person. I've only seen them on a computer screen right now with, I think, Seamus Donahue was the one wearing it to kind of show it off. But these are pretty awesome. And what are your thoughts on the jerseys?
Yeah, I like them. I guess I'm not a fashion guy. I'm excited for what the weekend represents. I'm excited. It's going to be a all kind, you know, there's all kinds of competitions going on campus with various teams, and everybody's partaking in it. So, it's a great thing. To always honor the military, the people that do so much for us, both present and past. So it's exciting to be part of that. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, we have this stretch here, Coach, of six more games till our first weekend off. We have the home and home with Northern and then the long trip up to Alaska. And, you know, it's a stretch. Obviously, these are very winnable games. Every game is a winnable game, but also losable games. How do you look at this little stretch here before our break how much of a necessity to get as many points as possible, obviously.
What I focus on, to be honest, is I focus on the controllables. I try to focus on what we can control and what, you know, and so we're obviously spending a lot of time with individuals, both individually trying to get better individually and then to get, you know, be as prepared as we can for Friday night when the puck drops against Northern Michigan. So I'm not thinking past Friday night's game right now onto anything else other than a tentative list that we had to put forward for flights for Alaska. Right now I'm just, you know, we're trying to do everything we can day in, day out, you know, 7 days a week to try to make sure that we're as prepared as we can to play a particular game on that given weekend. So we're just kind of really focusing just on Friday night.
What about goaltending right now, Coach? We've got a two solid performances by Devin Carroll. Packy Munson had been playing well too. Is this an open net right now as far as the number one goaltender?
Yeah, Robbie Bedun is as good as any of them in practice as well. So we have three solid goaltenders that are playing well. I think, you know, Devin sure gave himself good accountability on the weekend. He handled himself well. He made the saves he needed to save. He gave us a chance in the shootout to have some success. So, and I'm proud of that he was able to do that. He gave us, you know, we had, I think, five opportunities to score a goal to win the game, you know, in the shootout and get the extra point, and weren't able to put the puck in the net. So, It's wide open, but I'm really proud of the way that Devin played this week, and I think he handled rebounds. He did everything that we could ask of him.
Will there be, if we get to a shootout again? That was our second one. If we get to a shootout again, will there be more of an emphasis to shoot the puck, because that ice had to be just torn?
Yeah, wasn't
to it shreds?
It's, you know, it's
after two overtime.
The irony of it is, we were talking on the bench about that. You know, the only guy that shot in the whole shootout shot scored. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else went to the Deeks, and we had the goalie out and stuff, but it just, you know, we weren't able to put the puck in the net. What I did on this shootout, and what you often do is you get the input from the goaltenders as to who's shooting well in the shootouts in practice, who they have a hard time stopping. So we went a lot with that. Dallas was telling me who the goaltenders are recommending, and we did, you know, I took that into consideration. I think I went outside that once with one shooter, and we had a good chance with that. But that Bednar's a big kid, though.
He is a huge
kid. He's big in the net there, so maybe our guys just didn't see any net.
6'5", 205 pounds he was. Coach, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. We can't wait for the weekend. Huskies at home on Friday night. Let's pack the Mac. And remember, it's wear camo night, too. A camo out the Mac there. Wear some camouflage, and it should be a lot of fun. And then, of course, we'll have the broadcast for you on Saturday night, too, from the Barrie Event Center if you're not heading down there. That's the Joe Schoenauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.